Good evening and welcome. It is 2.5 years since I appeared on Australian television, live, that is. And here I am back again in living colour. The show is recorded, but it'll be repeated twice by the time we're finished with it. You see, there's a thing I like about Australian television. It gives me a chance to see the repeats of the repeats I missed the last time I was here. You know, I actually saw a movie the other night with Doris Day in it. It was so old, it was made before she ever became a virgin. You probably noticed, actually, I have cut down on my smoking. I don't smoke now as much as I used to. The only time I smoke now is after a drink. The problem is I've got to start cutting down on my drinking. Because I need a drink every time I have a cigarette. Drink is a bad thing, really. It's a very bad thing for your health. We are told that when you drink, it actually causes brain damage, destroys the cells, creates fat around the heart, affects our kidneys, our livers, stomach tissues, causes stomach ulcers, backache, leg ache, arteries. You think about that. Every time you have a drink, you'd need another bloody drink to steady your nerves. In Ireland, we say one drink is enough, two is too many, and three is not nearly enough. It also makes you quarrelsome, argumentative, vicious. Makes you want to shoot your wife. Makes you miss her. And I know you're going to be insulted because I'm going to tell you I do not like Australian beer. If I drink beer, I drink German beer. My God, that's strong stuff. Three of those and you want to invade Poland. The thing about drinking on television is that people get very curious about what is in the glass. They're always saying, what's in there? Is it whiskey? Gin? Vodka? I promise you, it is none of those things. It is holy water. God, another miracle. Do you know how the priests make holy water? They boil the hell out of it. Strange. Working on television actually is strange because what actually you do, you go into the people's homes and people get kind of on intimate terms with you in their own home. And then when I'm walking down the street, I have perfect strangers to me talking very intimately with me. I mean, I was in Scotland recently and a fellow said to me, he said, hey, Jimmy, is your name Dave Allen? And a woman actually came up to me one day and said, you give us so much enjoyment. We never miss not watching your show. I actually had a lady which was rather sad. She said to me one day, my fondest memory of my husband is of him sitting, watching your show and laughing before he died. And they walk up to him and they say, you're Dave Allen, aren't you? And I say, yes. And he said, would you mind giving me my autograph? So I said, what's your name? And I'll sign it for them. I don't care. And for some reason or another, I don't know why, but I am taller on television than I am in real life. And this seems to annoy people. It irks them. They walk up to me and they say, why aren't you as tall in real life as you are in television? I think it's actually got something to do with the horizontal hold. On the other hand, I do have television legs. I come into the studio, take my old little hairy ones off, and put on these long, long television legs. And then I come along and sit down. And they're smashing things. They ask me questions like, do I wear makeup? I do, but I'm not. The male dancers wear makeup, and they are. And extraordinary questions like, do you do your show live? What the hell is that? Go into my dressing room, take some poison, come out here and die. And then do the show. And actually, the other question they ask is, do I have a live audience? That's a debatable point. We have a standing auger at the local morgue. 600 stiffs, please. We need them tonight. With smiles on the faces. I'm also asked, why do I sit when I work? Well, all I can say is that if you were to sit here for as long as I do and drink as much as I do, you'd never be able to barely stand up. And I have a kind of... I'm a Celt. And we Celts can be dark people. I don't walk around all day with a smile, laughing and telling jokes. I sit around and think about things. People are always walking up to me and saying, come on, cheer up. Things can't be that bad. Smile. So you walk around with a big smile on your face going... Somebody else walks up and says, take that stupid smile off. I think the best one that was ever pulled on me was in a bar. I walked into a bar in London one day and a fellow said, saw your show last night. I said, what? Saw your show last night. Screw that one up. I had a glass in my other hand and I couldn't do that. Working on television, it's strange. It has its own rewards in many ways. And you get into kind of various characters. It gives you a chance to explore and be other people. I was playing a part in a sketch which was Quasimodo, which was the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And I was in the makeup for something like 2 hours. Incredible job they did. They covered this eye with a form of kind of rubber plastic and put a kind of eye here with a forehead. And the thing actually kind of moved. And the wig and hair all over my face. And they put tape through here to pull my mouth right like this. Big eyebrows and scars. And then they put the hump on, and when you tighten the hump, it actually turned me down. And I'm waiting on the side of the set going... Well, a fellow walked up to me and says, how's it going, Dave? One of the best moments actually I had with makeup is I was doing a werewolf sketch, and to show the kind of transference of time, the first bit of makeup is just a little bit of hair starts to grow in. And then I would go back to the makeup department and I'd have another little, and they'd do another sketch while I was getting made up. And I had about 7 various changes, gradually finishing up as a total werewolf. I mean, a dog's nose and a short peak here and hair, all my hands, teeth and everything. And I was standing there with nothing to do. And I thought, well, I'll take a leak. I'd been in the studio all day, and it's right down in the bowels of the BBC, and you don't know what's happening outside. So I walked into this John, and there's a fellow standing in the next cubicle to me. Now, I don't know about women, but fellows don't actually start talking. So I'm standing there, and I'm chatting around, take it on, having a wee. And I said to this fellow, I said, what's the weather like out today? And he went... For the last 2 weeks, we've been in Sydney filming and recording sketches with an Australian cast. And I suppose the best way I could introduce to these people individually and collectively is to show a batch of sketches in which they're all in. And that is what I'm going
to
do.
And so we say farewell to our dear friend Rodney Beagle, a man who gave his life to dogs. We remember how every year he showed at the Royal Show, how he labored to improve the Dachshund, and how he experimented with more and more appetizing dog foods. How he campaigned for the increase of lampposts for our doggy friends. And to the end, dedicated his life to our delightful tail-wagging friends. Earth to earth and ashes to ashes. Colonel Dilmar, you are accused of using your charms to subvert the course of justice. How do you plead?
Well, I usually plead very quietly and softly like this. And I open my eyes wide like this. And I run my tongue around my lips like this. And I walk in a certain way like this. Right up to the judge like this. And I lift his little flap like this. And I put my arms around his neck like this. And I whisper something in his ear like this.
I find the defendant not guilty.
Well, well, well. If it ain't cross-eyed Pete. Nobody calls me cross-eyed and gets away with it.
Why can't you just sing in the bath like any other man?
Self-destruct in 7 seconds.